It is wonderful to be back here with you. It was quite a few years ago, back in 2011, when I had 1 week's notice that I was starting full-time work. At the time, I was playing tennis with some of these lovely ladies. It's nods. I was attending Word Cafe, I assume.
Yes.
I had been running it, but I wasn't running it at that stage, so I didn't leave them in the lurch. But yes, it was very much like all of a sudden you're working, and I didn't get a chance to actually say goodbye to so many people.
Oh, we fell.
And you've been mourning since. it's really good to be back. Hopefully I will remember to share a bit of my story as to why I'm back and not in full-time work anymore. But let's just pray that what comes out of my mouth is God's message to you guys. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. I thank you for each of these precious ladies. I thank you for the message that you have for them. Just ask that you would help me to speak clearly and fluently, and that what I've planned to speak, I just set that aside, and that your words will come out. This we pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, so I am, my title is Freedom from Anxiety, and I chose this not because I have suffered or am suffering from anxiety, far from it, but I, through school, had encountered so many students who suffer from anxiety, debilitating anxiety, non-attendance, and also having friends throughout my life who have the same issues. And I'm hearing more and more that primary school students are suffering from anxiety, and I'm just going, why? Why is this happening, God? And more than that, because that's who I am, what do I do about this? How can I help? That is my title. That is why we're here. Check that it changed. Okay. So this is a graph about the incidence of anxiety by age. And the males are the blue line, the females are the not blue line. I'm not quite sure what colour it was.
Orange.
It looked orange on my computer. Mm. Excellent. Because my printer doesn't look orange. and in preparing this talk, I also contacted Lydia, who handed in her assignment at 11:27 last night, and said, I'm not asking you my question until you've handed in your assignment. So this morning, her and I were discussing the statistics. I said, I need to know about anxiety and how it changes with age, or the prevalence with age, and things like that. The rate of anxiety disorders is now at 34% in our society, and that is across the world. So that's one in three. Now, there's quite a few of you here. Those statistics apply to you as well. So I am fully aware that there potentially are people here who suffer from anxiety, may have throughout their life, or may have for short periods of time. And the chances of you having an anxiety disorder are twice if you are female as if you are male. It doesn't look like two times on the graph, but that's what it is. And when I was asking God that question, like, why do we have such a rate of anxiety in our world? I believe the answer he gave me is because we're just so much more aware of the chaos in our world around us. In ages past, you didn't necessarily get the news from every corner of the globe. Mm-hmm. And from some reading I've done previously, the whole social media and internet phenomenon is there's an algorithm, a computer, a program behind it that determines what you see, and that is you get more points in the algorithm if it's contentious or negative, inflammatory, or just bad news. So you will see a lot more of that on the internet. You see a lot more of that in the news because that's what sells, that's what gets attention, not the good news. So that doesn't help either. But then it's like, okay, so this is the world we live in. What can we do about it? What can I do about it? And I've been doing a lot of reading. And a quote that I came across is that we can do so little about the chaos in our world. We have very little agency, which means we can't affect what happens in other countries. We can't affect what happens on a national level. You get one vote. We can't affect to a huge extent what happens in our state or even in our local environment. But we can do so much about the most important thing, which is the orientation of our heart, okay? We don't want to sit with chaos in our heart. We want to have a peaceful spirit. Another quote from, I'll have to read this one, from Saint Seraphim, that when you come with a peaceful spirit, you will, what is it? There will, thousands will be saved around you. Your peace will spread to those that you interact with and help them. How do we do that? There's so many verses in the Bible. But I want to just show you a couple of things that I've been doing lately, that have really, really helped me in that process. Let me see what that says. Oh, let's go back to the graph. That's good. You'll notice in this graph that I'm not going to look up there because it'll do weird things to the microphone and the recording. There's a peak in the teen years that is probably not a surprise to anyone, particularly up until they're out of school. Because I talk to so many teenagers and it's like, I have to do this. Everyone dictates what they're supposed to be doing with their life at that age. And that, they find that very difficult. Then once they're out of school, they actually feel that they have some control over their life, they have some influence, that anxiety dips, but then it starts to go up again at about 2024, and then peaks again around the 40s. Could be many reasons. They may have experienced some life, come off a motorbike, broke a collarbone, done some silly things and are paying the consequences for them, and sort of things start to get a little bit out of control. They're also probably starting to have children. And those of you who have had children, which I'm assuming is quite a few, there's a lot we can control, but there's also an awful lot we cannot control, even when they're this big or this big. So I'm assuming, or I would attribute that increase in the 20s to 40s to those things as life is happening. As you bring your spirit of peace, do you know people who are in their teens? Do you have children, maybe?
Grandchildren.
Or are there other people in your circle of influence who you can be a spiritual mother for? I decided I wasn't going to say spiritual grandmothers because that is a mouthful. And you're all young and beautiful.
You can go again.
Think about who you can speak into the lives of, who you can bring your spirit of peace to. Who has God given you in your life? Now, everyone's heard of John Eldridge, Wild at Heart. was potentially one of his earlier books. I didn't look up when it was written because that was quite a while ago. But back in 2021, the principal at the school I was working at had us reading this as a staff, for our staff devotion, and it was fantastic. It is available from all your standard Christian bookstores for about $25, or on Audible. I'm not sure. It sounds like he actually uses quite a few of the Audible platforms, so that you can, if you were interested. It's called Get Your Life Back, and it was amazing. It took us through just a variety of different things you can do just to slow your world down, take time to reconnect with God. And one of the things from that was called the Pause app. So you know that the two lines that form the pause symbol on all of our devices. And I have been using that, and it has been fantastic. And that is what I'm going to share with you today as a process that you can use to calm your spirit and then influence those around you. The first step is to surrender everything to Jesus. All good. The phrase that John Eldridge uses is to, Lord, I surrender everyone and everything to you. Now, I'm a little slow at times and need a little bit of prompting. So Lydia found this one for me. Oh. Can you read that?
Yes, yeah, we can in
okay.
the front.
Oh, my notes here. Don't tell me. So outside is your least area of influence. Then the inner circle had another title. So, but it's closer to home, but still no influence. The only thing that you can really control, which was called the circle of control, I remember that much, is in the center. So let me read those to you. So we can control our thoughts, our words, our actions, behaviours, reactions, our decisions, choices, attitudes, mindset, mood, and our work ethic. The rest of it, we really do need to surrender to God. So just give me a wave. Can you actually read the things listed in the other circles?
Yes.
Fantastic, because that was always my concern. It's like there's a lot of information there and the words are really small. So, Lord, I give government policy to you. I give the traffic that I experienced this morning, not that we have that in Toowoomba.
Yes, we do.
But we sometimes do experience the interesting driving habits of other people. I give that to you. Whatever you have experienced this morning, just give that in your minds, give that to Jesus now. Lord, I surrender everyone and everything to you. Lord, the student that I'm going to see at lunchtime today, I surrender him to you. Lord, the health of my parents, I surrender to you. Okay, whatever applies to you. And when you have the pause app, it goes ping several times a day and say, time for pause. And all you have to do, well, you can do it in 1 minute. So I've had to be mindful of that and do that. Because in Matthew 6 and in Luke 12, Jesus says to give all his cares to all your cares to him because
he cares.
He cares for you. That's actually 1 Peter. Sorry, I skipped a bit. The birds of the air and the lilies of the field, he cares for them. How much more does he care for you? That is the bit from the Gospels. So, Lord, we just give everyone and everything to you. The second step is, no animations on this one, to re-establish our union, re-establish our connection with Jesus. Jesus, I want more of you. Heal my union with you because, and I didn't write the reference, I know it's John 15, verse
4.
Thank you. Abide in me. It's a bit dodgy.
It's up there. Yeah, but she doesn't want to turn around.
Abide in me and I will abide in you. So When we reconnect with God, when we reconnect with Jesus, he will come and live with us and within us. And that's the steps. Okay? Having someone just speak that while I sit, because it can take a little while for me to disconnect from whatever I was doing, I have found really, really helpful in the Pause app. And then it was like, okay, I can give everyone and everything over to you, God. I can practice abiding with you. But how does this help with anxiety? How does this help with the people around me, the people that you have given me who need that? Because I can't really go around and talk to them and say, you need to do this, it's really good. But I would like to tell you, it's really good. And if you're, like, different things help different people at different times, which is what was so good about the Get Your Life Back with the spinning boat, was that there were different methods. Sitting in nature was one that has always been my thing, but there were quite a few others. So find something that works for you to reconnect. But when we can give everything and everyone over to God and abide with him, then I believe, and my prayer is, that it gives you confidence that God is in control and God can make it all right. Okay? So it gives us confidence because, as we said before, he is our solid rock and we can trust in him. So there's a couple of verses from Psalm 23, not a whole lot, that I'm just going to talk about. Psalm 23, verse 3, he leads us by paths of righteousness for his name's sake. We don't have to do life alone because God is with us, okay? He can guide us, he can direct us, he does and he will. I'll just share a little story. So up until just before Easter, I was full-time teaching at a local school. A few things happened and I decided, after consulting with God, do I resign? So actually it was much earlier in the term that I started asking that question. So just before Easter, I resigned from my full-time position. And my wonderful husband said, you don't need to find full-time work, but you do need to find something. Otherwise, he knows that I would just then spend my whole time out having coffee with you all. Because we've been married for over 30 years, and, yes, he knows me well. So I am now a private tutor. My teaching background is science and maths, and predominantly recently I've been teaching agriculture and senior chemistry. That was my load. It was like agriculture, potentially from prep through to grade 12, and those are the students who don't do academic subjects, and as well as senior chemistry, which is a very academic subject. So when I was doing up my tutoring profile, I went, well, I just have to put science and maths, don't I? Because nobody needs tutoring in agriculture. I won't get many students if I do that. I get a phone call or an email for a potential student. I made contact with his case manager and I was talking to him and he goes, da-da-da. He likes agriculture and he spends 2 days a week at a local farm and the rest of he's not at school full time. And I went, right. I said, because the people who manage or sort of vet students and send them to me had no idea I taught agriculture. So I said to the case manager, I said, they don't know that I'm an agriculture teacher and And it's just like this was God's indication that he was directing my paths, he was leading me, and that I was in the right place. Because, I don't know, is it just me or we always second guess ourselves? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that was fantastic confirmation. I was like, oh, God, thank you. Thank you so much. So that was a little bit of fun and put a big smile on my face. The other verse from Psalm 23, verse 6, is verse 5. He prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. God delights in giving us a feast of goodness, even in the dark times. There are things that you can be thankful for. He loves to bless us, and you can have confidence in that. And hopefully you can think of some things now. Oh, I can't see the screen. I don't know what's coming up next.
Bucket.
But just taking a moment to write down or to think of the good things that God has given you. For me, it's the sunshine on my back, particularly on a winter day. It's the roses blooming in my front garden. The plant that springs up in a very unusual place, and I just know that God is bringing me joy, bringing me peace. Puppy cuddles, always a good one. Grandchildren, the laughter of grandchildren, the hugs of grandchildren. I have 5 now. And so many things. Just take the time when you reconnect with God to say thank you for those good things and be ready to tell others of the good things he is doing for you in your week. Now, I think I've changed the PowerPoint after I printed this, so let's have a look. Okay, just a bit of a recap. We have our bucket. I can't remember what it's called, but this is one from Lydia. You've got the grey clouds at the top, the things that are concerning you and creating stress, and they're filling up your bucket. You can see, there's a very faint blue line dotted there for a relaxed level of stress in your life, a normal level of stress, and then when it gets above that, things get a little bit interesting. However, fortunately, we have holes in the bottom of our bucket, and I can't read them from here. So can I have people reading them out? Can I have someone from over here read from the left one?
Rest and relaxation.
Rest and relaxation, yeah.
Talking to... Trusted people.
Talking to trusted people.
Doing something you enjoy.
Something you enjoy. For me, that's gardening, including weeding. Hands up if you're with me.
Not so much
hands
the
down
weeding.
If you're not with me.
Another one.
Lots and lots of things. Is there one more?
Good time management.
And time management. Not sure about that one. That's not my strength. When I come home and say to my husband, I didn't have lunch today, I need to have something to eat. He goes, well, that's bad time management, isn't it? Don't you talk. You sit at a desk. You have a bell that rings that tells you to go to lunch. And you don't have students that come and talk to you then. So anyway, that's my little beef. I thought that was a cute picture. Things happen in life. There are plenty of things to be stressed about. Please make sure that you are connecting with God, that you are abiding in him, that you are giving him all of your cares and concerns because he cares for you. And then this one came to mind, which you're all familiar with, yes. Did you know that it is part of a much longer prayer?
No.
Anyone?
No, I didn't know.
Okay, that was news for me. So let's just read that out aloud. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. and the second part, which I like, because it fits with my talk. I'll read that for the people who are listening to the recording. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, taking, as Jesus did, this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that you will make all things right if I surrender to your will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next life. Amen. So that is from Reinhold Niebuhr in the 1930s. So God bless you as you live peacefully with a calm, non-chaotic heart, and you influence those around you. I was thinking of printing out the Serenity Prayer for all of you, the full length, but then I decided what better opportunity, if you're not internet savvy, to ask a teenager or even the 20s to 40s, because they can do it too, to help you find it and then read that with them. Ask them what things are concerning you, what ways can I pray for you this week. Okay. And that is it.